This is part two of an interview with Dr. Charles Kaplan. The date is November 11, 1982. The interviewer is Howard Droker. Dr. Kaplan, let's begin by talking more about the building of the actual physical plant on Mercer Island.
I think I indicated to you before that we selected the architect, Paul Theory, because at that particular time he was the leading architect, we felt, in the community and was recognized as such and respected as such. And there were other Jewish architects who were very well qualified and could very well have done it. And it was a difficult choice to have to make, which one to select. In order to avoid that particular choice, we felt as though if we selected the dean of the architects in the community, it would be acceptable to all, and it proved to be so. Paul at that time was getting a little older, and he assigned Ed Burke to the job, and most of our contact was with Ed Burke, who indeed proved to be a very, very helpful, creative architect. One of the requisites and recommendations that we made to him that he design a building which would require the least amount of maintenance, because we knew that from a point of view of running a center, operational costs are the things that can kill you, so that you don't have any time for program or any money left over for program, so that special effort was made to design it so that there wouldn't be very much maintenance, and this proved to be a very helpful factor.
Now, was that the practical knowledge of somebody who was involved, or where did you get that information from? How did you know?
Oh, that information was, Leo Wolken and myself and others who had been working on budget before that recognized the necessity for it. So that, it was just made to the building committee, and was, the building committee also recognized the merits of it.
Now, you decided to
We only had one problem, and I think you may be well aware of it. I think the building itself functioned very, very well, but the one item in the building that it didn't function well was the air conditioning and the heating, and I don't know what went wrong with that, but it required a lot of redoing in order to make it work properly.
Now, you built, to begin with, you built two of the three sections that you
yes.
felt the center needed.
Yes.
Describe those.
The center section, which actually, it wasn't the center section at the time, but is now the center section, was a section for administration and was and provided meeting rooms. It had the offices for the executive director, the bookkeepers, and the library, and the boardroom, and several meeting rooms, and we had allowed at that time, I think, just two rooms for the nursery school. But very quickly, we found the nursery school outgrew everything, and the nursery school just moved into some of the other meeting rooms, and they had to be revised. And I can remember at the time we went through these nursery rooms with the toilets about half the size, and they still intrigued me, and I still enjoy going through because they were built especially for the nursery school. One room that they adopted, for instance, was the arts and crafts room. It had to be taken over by the nursery, and it was difficult, but it was managed. And there was a teen room too. In the teen room, our teen programs, as all teen programs, are always difficult, and although we had a separate teen room, we found that it wasn't working as it wasn't being used as much as we had hoped that it would be. I think you may know that B'nai B'rith came in and took over. They had all their programs, B'nai B'rith Youth and the girls group came over and took over some of those, but we had to make some changes in that section. Now the other section was a very large swimming pool, which was a beautiful swimming pool, and the gymnasium. The only problem we had with the gymnasium was that the floors were not built on little rubber tips, so that it was built right on cement, the hardwood floor, and that is very hard on knees. And when we rented to the Sonics used it as a for their practices. Herman Sarkowski made the contribution of changing the whole floor so that Sonics could use it. But other than that, there were very few other structural things that we had to change. Our big problem was we were always being accused of building an elite center. It was this beautiful country club, and whereas it was a beautiful structure, and we agree with that, it was not done for the purpose of just per se making it beautiful. It was done because it was going to save us a lot of money in operations subsequently, and that decision we have didn't ever regret. It was a very fine structure, but it was not very much more than what it would have been had we built it in most any other material, and we would have had a whole lot more painting had we built it in wood or staining or whatever else it might be.
Now, that doesn't completely answer the charge of some that it is essentially a country club and not a true community center. How would you respond to that?
Well, I feel that that charge was not made by individuals who were familiar with the center. Because people who are with the center know that the usage of the building itself was paid for by the members itself, except for what we received from Federation and United Way. But that just barely covered the 20% individuals who were not paying their way. Membership paid its way, essentially, and the community, additional community resources, and the subvention that came in from the community, took care of the 20%, and I don't think it's ever fallen below 20%.
That's 20% who could not afford the
Could not afford to pay, yes. And they were brought in, bussed in, and utilized the center, and that number remained about 20%. I think it may be a little higher than that now because the dues have gone up, so it's 25%. Another thing about membership that we did that I think made us almost unique as far as community centers in the country were concerned, we insisted that we retain its Jewish character. We did not succumb, as so many other centers did, to just accepting membership from non-Jews in order to balance our budget. Our non-Jewish membership has remained, and I don't know what it is now, but we kept it at 7% for many, many, many years, which meant that we did serve a small segment of the non-Jewish community that were local there. They didn't stay very long. You know, after they had finished with their usage of it, they quit. New ones came in, so that they were never a factor in terms of a problem. This was done, by the way, we had to figure out a way of doing it, and the way we devised was that anybody who joined the center had to make a contribution to the building fund. Well, this was very difficult for non-Jews to accept. The Jews, we've been doing it for years, and it was no problem for us. But the non-Jews, to give $1,000 or $5,000 to the building fund over and above your dues, kept many non-Jews out. As a result, the center did retain its Jewish character.
Well, what about the content of its programs? How does that reflect the Jewish character?
We were never satisfied that there was sufficient Jewish content. There was rarely a board meeting where Jewish content, the words Jewish content, was not mentioned. And every effort was made to related to Jewish content. And of course we'd have the criticism, what's Jewish about basketball, or what's Jewish about swimming? And it's a difficult thing to answer. But on the other hand, is it all right for Jews to swim? Is it all right for Jews to play basketball? The athletic wing, which was really truly a very, very beautiful wing and was used intensively, was our way of selling the center to many individuals. Many individuals, many Jewish individuals I'm referring to, joined the center because of the athletic facilities and stayed for the rest of the content. We could not have been a success in terms of membership without that particular wing. So that that was one factor. And the other factor is that when 15 or 20 kids are playing basketball and they're all Jewish, that's giving them an opportunity to relate to one another as individuals, not necessarily with Jewish content, but they were relating to each other and they were getting to know each other. And this was something that was lacking in the community previously. There was really very no facility where they could get together and get to know each other other than through the synagogues. And the synagogues, by the very nature of their organizations, were limited, whether they were Reforms or Orthodox or Sephardic and all the rest of them, all the other divisions that we had within it. Well, this was an institution that crossed over all these lines and brought them in together. Just recently, I was talking with a group of individuals and about the relationship between the Sephardic and the Jewish community. And those of us who are old timers, and I don't consider myself as that, but in 1947, when I came here, it was there was very little communication, and it was not, well, if you went to school or college, you didn't, there wasn't interdating. Interdating almost represented, you're crossing the line.
Between the Sephardic and the Ashkenazi Jews.
I'm expressing it a little more vigorously than it really was, because there was interdating, obviously. There were many intermarriages, but they were intermarriages then. They were referred to as intermarriages, whereas now they're not. Jews are marrying Jews. And this has taken place over a period of years, not only because of the Jewish Community Center, but I truly believe the Jewish Community Center was a major factor in establishing an opportunity for people to get to know each other and communicate with each other and get along with each other.
Is that it?
Yes. Excuse me.
Oh, I forgot.
That was another.
A unifying factor in the community.
It was what I used to refer to, and I don't know whether I've mentioned this, that at that time we had a rabbi here who was always talked about building bridges to the non-Jewish community. And I always used to talk about building bridges to the Jew within the Jewish community. And that was what we were attempting to do.
Now, you mentioned that it also involved the Orthodox and Reform and Conservative people getting to know each other, too.
And this presented problems. Should we stay open on Saturday? Oh, what a struggle that was. We could stay open on Saturday if it was after 12 o'clock, so it didn't interfere with services. And that is still the policy. But why shouldn't we have some place to go Saturday afternoon other than to watch TV, go to football games, or wherever else it was? And after a great deal of struggle, it was accepted by most everyone, although somewhat still frowned upon by some of the Orthodox.
Now, relating to this question of unity, was there any segment of the community that opposed the creation of the Jewish Community Center?
Oh, I still think there's a segment of the community right now that are opposed.
But is it just individuals, or is there some way of grouping that opposition?
Well, a community center, just generally, by the very nature of it, is a threat to synagogues. If you don't go to, the synagogues would prefer to have all their young people go to their young people programs in the synagogue. So that this is a threat. Our answer to that was, number one, half of our membership didn't have any affiliation with any synagogues. Should we provide for them? And of course the answer to that was yes, and they couldn't deny that. But should we compete with the others? And we were competing with the others, not intentionally, but just by the very nature of what we were doing. We had something to offer that they didn't have. There was an athletic facility. On the other hand, they had so much more to offer in terms of religious education. So we tried to adjust so that we weren't a threat to them as much as possible. But some of them still feel as though we are a threat. And
so the adjustment is to try to not compete as far as religious education.
That's right.
But you do certainly Jewish cultural things.
Jewish cultural things, very definitely. We felt we had to do. And Also, Jewish Community Center is a vehicle to have cross-cultural things. There's something that all of us are interested in. We could do that at the Community Center, whereas the Orthodox had only one, had their major interest. The Reformed had their major interest. But a community center, and I'm not sure we've exploited this to the extent that it can be, can afford to bring in a speaker because they're going to have a much larger audience who is of the highest, who requires more money to do it than any of the other synagogues could. Now, mind you, as you know, Temple de Hirsch has done that. The other synagogues have their programs, and they've done a great job. But this has been done since the community center. They weren't available to the community before that. So I think we've enriched each other, and I hope they continue with it, and I'm sure they will continue with it, and I think community center should continue with it and strengthen their programs. The whole community is better off for it in the long run.
I'd like you to give me some specific examples of relationship between the Jewish Community Center and the synagogues, not necessarily negative experiences, but just give me an idea of how they work together, how the rivalry has cropped up, and how it's been dealt with.
Well, I suppose the first example that comes to my mind is the Purim party that they have at the community center. Now, every synagogue likes to have a Purim party. In addition, and they still can have it and should have it and do have it within their own synagogues. But over and above that, the Purim party at the center, where all the children from all the synagogues come, and that place is mobbed. Have you ever attended one?
We went to a North End one. It was very small attendance.
Well, all right, but the ones there, the parking is a problem. Just maneuvering around the corridors is a problem. They have all sorts of programs that are real fun and the children just love, in addition to the food and the dancing and the singing and the nightclub entertainment they have provided and the all sorts of other things in the program. Some of the synagogues may disapprove of. There's some of the programs possibly that I disapprove of. But I can't disapprove of the whole project because it brings everybody together, the parents, the grandparents, the children, and the biggest mob you ever did see, including all the rabbis and their children and their wives, are nearly all attend. And it's a great program. I think that's as good an example of it as I can think of.
Have there been any problems with individual rabbis where they've complained about the community center usurping?
Some more than others. You might think, well, all right, it's going to be the Orthodox that are going to object. And it wasn't necessarily. The Reform synagogues did object. In fact, the board Temple de Hirsch and Temple Beth Am, the rabbis felt and still feel as though the center takes over it takes the time and energies of some of their members where they might devote to them. They haven't been completely accepting of the center. You would think that would be the Orthodox rabbis, but I don't think it is as much the Orthodox rabbis, maybe one or two, but generally they have come and participated and been part of it and taught the classes and brought their children. Took a while, took a few years for them to realize that. Problems, the business of kashrus was always a problem. I don't think we ever did get to use our kitchen with our two kitchens, the kosher kitchen and the non-kosher kitchen that was downstairs in the room, and I think they've been abandoned now. New ones have been provided in the new wing. But, you know, in the downstairs, there were two kitchens there that they were, for all practical purposes, just closed off.
So was food catered then?
No, there wasn't very much food brought in. I mean, prepared there. It had to be brought in. There were some vending machines. They were supervised.
But
the new wing has better facilities for that.
So that the logic now is that in order to serve everybody, you must have kosher food.
Yeah. And it's always been so. But what's kosher food for one isn't necessarily kosher for the other. And we have had quarrels between the Mashgiachs, and that particularly was at camp, of course. Was it ever kosher enough? And we used to drive us crazy because we would spend literally thousands of dollars to have double equipment. And then somebody would come in and say, oh, but you didn't do this and you didn't do that. And it was sometimes quite frustrating. But generally, it was, you can't please 100%. But I think it was well accepted.
Let me ask you about the camp. That is another issue. And if my chronology is right, Camp Bimbo was purchased before Mercer Island, the site was purchased.
Yes.
Well, how was that a part of the program? How did that fit into the idea of a community center?
The camp was purchased at the time, within a year or two of the time that the center was started. While we were still in the Elks Club, we had a camp. And the camp was a good camp, was always fairly busy. But, I guess it was during the time I was active in it, but we did a study as to the site of the camp, and we brought in people from elsewhere. I'm not sure this is answering your question, but it is a part of the history that I think is interesting, and that is, what should we do about the camp? There were 3 or 4 acres of the camp which were swamplands, which we couldn't use. Had we been able to use it, we could have expanded our program considerably. And we negotiated with the Corps of Engineers, and they were going to come in and drain it for us and various other projects. But it all boiled down to the fact that our camp was too small, and it could never, for a good country camp, we could never have the programs that we should have. We used Rainier National Park for outdoor camping, but it was still insufficient in size, and the Camping Association, was the National Camping Association, came in and made a recommendation that we do look for elsewhere for another camp. This was a very heavy blow to the people who had originally bought it. See, the Camping Association bought it. It didn't ever belong to the community at large. It belonged to a camping association. And they'd put up the money for it. And they supported it. They took care of and they used to have their $100 raffle tickets and that sort of thing.
Who were some of the key people? Because I haven't seen any mention of that association being separate. So.
Oh, let me see. I think Norman Klein, while he was alive, was very active in it. Later on, it was Max Munchen, who was head of the Camping Association for that reason, for the raising of funds. Mm-hmm. And he and his group of friends used to raise the money for it. I don't know whether you know Max Munchen.
He's, I know the name.
Faye Sarkovsky's father. She's a Munchen. And he did a great deal of work for it.
What is the JCC's relationship with the Jewish Federation?
Let me continue as far as the camp is concerned. Because when it was decided the camp not to be used, there was or expanded, there were some of the recommendations were that we join the camp down in Portland, the Navith camp. We join the one up in Vancouver. We build one for all of them. And there were various other propositions, and there are extensive minutes on those recommendations because it was studied quite intensely. When the decision was not to use it, the Camping Association very reluctantly, and I can't recall just the details of the negotiations, said that if they would give it eventually to the Jewish Community Center. And that's what happened, and when it was sold, the Jewish Community Center got all the money for it. Mm-hmm. And that was part of our building fund. Mm-hmm. And that provided us with a good nucleus.
But as far as maintaining a camp, that was lost.
That was lost. It was too close to downtown in that community. It was became encroached by residential area all around. It no longer was out in the country.
But you did not decide to go ahead and purchase a new camp.
No. Camping more recently has been done much more successfully, and this again is national, by the synagogues than it has been done. And no matter what we did. You know, we tried to build a kibbutz there, and it was all sorts of programs that we did in order to try to give it more Jewish content. I never did feel as though we did enough. We were successful. We were nowhere near as successful as the religious camps were. The religious camps have really had a real impact on many individuals. I don't think we did anything more than provide recreation for Jewish children. Plus, they learned about the Shabbat and things of that sort, which was very much part of it. I may be a little too critical on that in that regard, but I do feel as though that they didn't do well. We weren't as successful. We should possibly have had rabbis as involved in the direction of it, where instead of social workers, whatever it was. I think the eventual solution of going to various surrounding camps run by religious organizations has satisfied our community sufficiently well. We're a poor community for camps, because we live in a camp. All of us have places. It isn't like living in New York, where you have to get out of the heat of the summer and go to a camp. You're living in Seattle, so camping, by the very nature of our climate, was difficult to continue to promote.
That's a very good point. Okay, let's go now to the relationship between the Jewish Community Center and the Jewish Federation. What was the interaction? How are they trying to do it?
The Jewish Community Center was originally started as a result of the Federation saying it's time we had a center. The people who were involved were all Federation people. Once it became a thriving organization, we had to go to funds for Federation. They were most cooperative. When we had to go in for building funds, they were very, very careful about us reporting to them as exactly what we were doing. This is the first time around. The same precautions weren't taken the second time around. But when we were going to increase our goal, we came before a board of the Federation, and the Federation would say, no, go out and do this, that, and the other thing, and give us all sorts of instructions. I can remember one time coming before the board and with our budget for our building, and Saul Esfeld said, but you don't have enough money for interest during the construction part. You don't have this, that, and the other thing. You're going to have to do that. And this is the sort of advice, and it was a good relationship. Not all the individuals were supporting it completely. We had to struggle. We had to sell it. But the majority of individuals were very much in favor of it, and all they wanted to do was to see that it did work and it didn't get into difficulty financially.
So you think that you benefited by the experience of those people?
No question about it. Oh, we depended on Federation. We were well aware of the fact that without Federation, we couldn't survive. So that we worked right with hand in glove with Federation on all the things that we did. As far as operating subvention, we received a fair share. I don't think we were ever received any more than the average community center did in any other community. But it was always with understanding. We always had to sell our program. We always had to convince them that this is money that is well spent. We had to convince them that this was something that we were using discreetly and wisely and not wasting. And with that sort of supervision, and and of course they'd always give us less than what we asked for, and we'd have to go back and revise our budget a few times. But it was a good relationship, and I think it's all the time I was involved with Jewish Community Center, I was also involved with the Federation. Most of us were wearing two hats at that time. Many, many of us were on both boards at that time, much less so subsequently. People in the Jewish Community Center boards do not represent as much of the leadership in Federation as it did at the time. You go down the list of the individuals who are president of Jewish Community Center, they were also president of Federation at some time or another. So that there was a great interchange. I personally feel as though I received my training in community leadership in Jewish Community Center. and organizational work, which I felt made me a much better individual when I became more active in Federation.
Talk about the evolution then of the Jewish Community Center and the change in the board and kind of leading up to more recent times.
Well, I think during the early 70s, there was a real effort on the part of Jewish Community Center to bring in younger people.
Let me turn it